Washington. Thousands upon thousands of federal, we're going to put this in brackets, workers who have been put on administrative leave for more than a month have been allowed to collect a paycheck, to accrue vacation days and pension benefits, all while taxpayers are forced to boot the multi-million dollar bill, according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. Government is just so corrupt. It is so inefficient. It is so grotesquely immoral. I mean, it's not just the military, although the military, by the way, is the biggest abuser of this. There is no hope in fixing it, folks. You can't fix it. You know, government right now is 25 to 30% of GDP in America. I mean, we've created a monster. Government employees who broke the rules, meaning they were cited for being untrustworthy or had ongoing issues with coworkers or their bosses, sexual harassment, were allowed to remain on leave for large chunks of time while they challenged their demotions. And so you can steal, you can be abusive, you can be immoral, you can be completely inept, and then the government will pay you, give you pension and accrue vacation time for you not to work. The study released publicly on Monday marks the first time auditors have taken a look at the scope of administrative leave and its cost to taxpayers. During a three-year period, more than 57,000 money grubbers, called employees of the federal government, were told to go home and stay home for more than a month for egregious behavior, costing the taxpayers $775 million in salary alone, and that much more in pensions and other benefits. The report found that 53,000 civilian employees were kept home for 1 to 3 months. Another 4,000 were kept off the job for 3 months to a year, and hundreds for 1 to 3 years. The report listed the Department of Defense, the part of America that I endorsed for dismantlement yesterday, as having the highest number of paid leaves on record. It is a institution completely out of control. During the three fiscal years that ended in September 2013, the Department of Defense put 8,600 employees on leave for 1 to 3 months, close to 900 for 3 months to a full year, and well over 100 for a year or more on paid leave. We're going to pay you to do nothing. Federal agencies have the discretion to put employees on administrative leave for a number of different reasons. And here they wrote down, including blood donations and snow days. Yeah, a blood donation and a snow day where they're off for a week, a month, or a year. Oh, must have been a hell of a snowstorm. You know, you just can't function. You give blood and, you know, it takes you a week or so to recover. The number of federal employees put on paid leave totally eclipses the number at private companies. Private companies will rarely pay employees while investigating claims. And in cases where they do, the leave lasts only for a few days. Quote, the private sector is focused on operating efficiently. Kathy Alvarado, chief executive of the Helios Human Resources firm, a consulting firm located in Northern Virginia, told the Washington Post in an interview. Gee, the Washington Post needed a human resources executive in the Washington, D.C. area to tell them that the reason this occurred and is different in the private sector is the private sector is focused on operating efficiently, whereas the government sector is not. Wow. That must not be much economic education in the journalism schools in the nation's capital. It's just, I mean, we are a nation upside down. We're a nation that's bleeding and hemorrhaging in every possible way. So badly broken, there is no way to fix it. Stop voting for the lesser of two evils. Stop being political. Stop engaging in politics, religion, and stop being patriotic. You're making a fool of yourself. In a new video, speaking of foolish, posted online, the Islamic State claims that it captured many of the weapons and ammunition dropped by the U.S. military that was intended for the Kurdish Embrace Death forces defending the embattled Syrian city near the Turkish border. The airdrops were the first of their kind, followed by weeks of U.S. and coalition airstrikes near Kobani. In the video, the Islamic State claims that the weapons and ammunition that were airdropped were seized by them. And they're not just making the claim. They've got photographic evidence. They're showing the contents of these boxes. Automatic weapons, grenades, there are anti-tank weapons, missiles, you name it. The United States has become the merchant of death, and we're arming both sides. And what we're doing in Syria now, in our war against the Islamic State, is absolutely suicidal. We have an administration that has lost its mind. A senior administration official told CBS News on Sunday that, the majority of the bundles dropped by U.S. forces appeared to make it to their intended targets. We don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. We are still addressing the completion of the mission, but every indication that we have is that the majority of those bundles were successfully delivered to the Kurdish forces. We're working through a complete assessment right now. In other words, we don't have a clue. The evidence shows that the Islamic State captured them. They have absolute proof. No dispute. And think of this. The Kurds that are there are staged out of Turkey. Turkey is a NATO member. We can't simply hand these Kurds the weapons that we want them to use against the Islamic State when they're in a NATO country? No. That's how big a joke NATO has become. No, we're airdropping them. And when we airdrop them, they're as likely to be picked up by the Islamic State as they are by the Kurds. And, by the way, there is no differential between the Kurdish behavior and the Islamic State behavior. They're both terrorists, both Muslim groups. They're both jihadists. I know the PKK is one of the world's most vicious terrorist organizations. The Kurdish political and religious party in Turkey. You know, this idea that the enemy of my enemy is my friend is what got us in such a mess in World War II, where we equipped and aided Stalin, who was worse than Adolf Hitler. And we left Europe worse than we found it as a result. It's why America armed and empowered Mao Zedong, who was worse than the Japanese in terms of being vicious and murderous. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's why America provided chemical and biological weapons to Saddam Hussein when he was fighting Iran. And then came back and fought him. It is what America does. It's just that for the first time, America has lost its morality and its moral compass to the point now where it's arming both sides and fighting both sides at the same time. Yes, everything we are doing in the Islamic world is counterproductive. Idris Nasan, a senior Kurdish official from Kobani, who is now in the Turkish town across the border, asked to receive more weapons via airdrop. He said, "We're not in need of fighters. We're able to defeat the terrorists of the Islamic State. If we have weaponry, enough ammunition, guess where they're going to use that weaponry next? Where they've always had their biggest beef. Against Turkey. We're making another civil war. We are equipping and aiding and abetting another civil war." This story is one, the next one, is one that I shared well over a year ago. It's making the rounds in the news again. We scientifically know that what I'm going to report has occurred many times in the past. And we know that there are significant issues associated with this. We just don't know all of them. But the magnetic field around Earth is about ready to shift. It will probably shift in the next 20 years. Around 800,000 years ago, magnetic north hovered over Antarctica. And reindeer lived in the magnetic south. The conditions on the Earth were vastly different. Now, the poles have flipped several times. They've flipped probably hundreds of times throughout Earth's billion-year history. Billions of years. Scientists have estimated that a flip cycle starts with a magnetic field weakening over a span of a few thousand years. Then the poles flip and the field springs back to life to full strength again, but in the inverse. However, a new study shows that the last time the Earth's poles flipped, it took only 100 years for this reversal to happen. Right now, over the South Atlantic, the field is gone. The Earth's magnetic field is weakening rapidly. Data collected this summer by a European Space Agency satellite suggests that the field is weakening 10 times faster than scientists originally thought. They predicted a flip could come within the next couple of thousand years and originally, but now they say that that's a very liberal estimate. And scientists said now it could happen almost at any time. We don't know whether the next reversal will occur as suddenly as the previous one did. But we also don't know that it won't, said the director of the Geochronology Center at Berkeley, at Cal. Geologists still are not sure what causes the planet's magnetic field to flip. Earth's iron core acts like a giant magnet and generates the magnetic field that envelops the planet. This helps protect against blasts of radiation that erupt from the sun and sometimes hurtle towards Earth. A weakening magnetic field could interrupt power grids, radio communications, and douse the planet with unusually high levels of radiation. Not could, would. You see, if the magnetic field weakens, which has to happen before it flips, and it's weakening right now at 10 times the rate that was originally suspected, and there's places where it is almost non-existent now. The Earth is going to warm abruptly because of the radiation. The kind of radiation that's going to be transmitted is going to be carcinogenic. One of the reasons we can't travel intergalactically at this point is that humans can't withstand the onslaught of radiation. and the particles aren't easily stopped. The magnetic field diverts them. But the radiation that will enter living organisms is going to cause mutations. Going to be serious levels of cancer. But also the radiation that will be allowed through during this weekend period prior to the flip will most likely be catastrophic on our electronic world. Destroying satellites, destroying all forms of communication, destroying, you know, virtually everything that we rely on in society today. It'll blind our military. While the ESA satellite studied the magnetic field from above, the team of researchers also studied it from below. The researchers dug through ancient lake sediments exposed at the base of mountains in Italy. Ash layers from long ago and from volcanic eruptions are mixed into the sediment. The ash made out of magnetically sensitive materials hold traces of the Earth's magnetic field lines, and the researchers were able to measure the direction that field was pointing. And as a result, we know when north was south and south was north, and we know there were periods where there was essentially no field and there was no alignment of magnetic materials. The argon dating dirt for these rock formations says that these layers built up over a 10,000-year period, and the poles flipped about 786,000 years ago. The sediment layers also show that the magnetic field was unstable for about 6,000 years before the abrupt flip. The period of instability included two low points in the field's strength, each of which lasted around 2,000 years. As the field weakens, and it is weakening right now very abruptly, the period of time before it flips, while it continues to weaken, and it's weakening at an alarming rate, it's devastating for life. It's devastating for modern technology. Geologists don't know where the magnetic field is now in that reversal time scale, or if this flip will even follow the same pattern as the last. The bottom line is, there's no way to know. We really don't know whether the next reversal is going to resemble the last one. So it's possible to say we're just seeing the first of several movements, or this is the true reversal. But all we know for certain is that the magnetic field that is protecting the Earth is weakening at an alarming rate. It was previously reported that the rate was scheduled for immediate reversal. It is interesting to note that this upcoming weakening of the poles, which is a much bigger deal than the pole reversal. The poles are going to reverse, but it's the weakening of the poles that's happening that is absolute certain, and it's happening at a rate that is 10 times alarming. I originally covered this story about 4 years ago, and I was covering it because there are prophecies that speak of the last days, of living during the tribulation, a time that will start around 2026, in the fall of 2026, and last for the next 7 years. And it tells us that during that time, that the sun's intensity is going to become a serious problem for human inhabitants. And this weakening, dramatic weakening of the magnetic field would fulfill that prophecy. It would cause the sun's radiation to be more intense and more destructive. And it looks inevitable at this point. So it appears that what I tied to the most logical explanation for the prophecy that the sun's going to become more intense and more problematic for humans sometime starting within the next 15 years is much more credible in terms of the timing than first reported. And that over the last year, we have recognized that the deterioration of our magnetic field protecting us from the sun's radiation is failing at a rate 10 times greater than what was thought back at the time that I wrote the correlation between these things. This is a really serious problem, folks. And it's about to have a tremendous and negative effect on our planet. Matter of fact, there were, in the last 2 years, there have been, maybe it's 3 years, there have been two nearly doomsday onslaughts against the Earth. Two of the largest solar flares and solar storms, solar eruptions, in recorded history, during the time that we've noticed such things. Two of the largest have occurred over the last 3 years. And these storms are directional. You know, the sun sends out radiation in a 360-degree arc from a sphere, you know, in all directions. But the storms themselves are directional. And if the Earth just happens to pass through an area after a storm has occurred, particularly one of these extraordinarily violent storms, the consequences are grievous. And we ducked two bullets, razor burns, where the Earth's orbit was within hours, within a tiny fraction of being bombarded by two of the worst solar storms and eruptions in recorded history. Speaking of that, turning to a man-made source of horror, the Islamic State is now trying to impose, really, draconian measures and take the people of Syria and Western Iraq back to the Dark Ages. And the law that they're implementing, Sharia law that will take people back to the Dark Ages, which is really all Islam does, returning people to the time of Muhammad, which was a period of ignorance. During, really, what is the Dark Ages? I mean, he promoted his vicious scheme around 600 CE. The world was engulfed in the Dark Ages. That was, by the way, a period of global cooling. You may want to recognize that it was a period of global cooling. And global warming actually does have lots of benefits. There's less disease. There is far more productivity. There's more food to go around. Conditions on the planet, particularly amongst humans, are vastly superior during periods of global warming than of global cooling. But here the Islamic State is trying to impose Sharia, a Dark Ages law system, on the women within its so-called caliphate. And they're actually using women who are merciless in their enforcement of it. There's now a brigade of young women dressed, you know, head to toe in the full burqa, where they have mesh in their tents so that they can see out of it. Otherwise, they're in black from head to toe. They're roaming the streets with AK-47s as a religious police designed to impose Sharia law on all women in Syria and Iraq. Now, this cadre of misguided girls is known as the Al-Khansa Brigade. The group consists of armed women between the ages of 18 and 24 who patrol the Islamic State's Syrian communities. And their job, which they are said to perform with cruel relish. Yeah. Muslim girls are really cruel. I mean, really cruel. You know, I've received 10,000 or more letters from Muslims because of Prophet of Doom. And in viciousness, in just cruelty, Muslim women are far more vicious than Muslim men. Now, in Islam, women are supposed to support jihad, and men are supposed to perform jihad. That's why you see very few women actually engaging in jihad. Now, there's a story about how Aisha, the six-year-old that Muhammad at 50 started to molest. She was seeing that everybody that engaged in jihad was rich, and they got to steal whatever their victims sacrificed, and got to go off and rape their victims. They got slaves and money and glory for participating in jihad. So Asa one said, you know, what about the women? You know, where are the benefits for the women? What about their jihad? And Muhammad said, you know, your jihad is to stay home and support the male jihadists. Well, now in the Islamic State, they've got women armed to the teeth, wearing their tents, arresting and beating women who commit such horrid transgressions as allowing their ankles or wrists to show without being with a male chaperone. So if you're a woman in Syria or Iraq, according to Sharia law, because this is what Muhammad imposed on Muslim women, if you're out in a public place like the market, taking your kid to school, meeting with other women, and you don't have a male chaperone, the religious police comprised of women will torture you. If you're out and you're wearing your burqa tent, an abject shame, but in your burqa, your wrists show, or your ankles show, they'll ravage you. They'll beat the living tar out of you. That's the nature of Islam. That's what women do to other women in Islam. It's why Muslim mothers sexually abuse their daughters to the tune of between 100 and 200 million of them in the world today. So the Islamic State, imposing Sharia law, which is a law system based upon Muhammad's words and deeds, and Muhammad was a rapist, a pedophile, he was incestuous, he was a sexual pervert. They are now walking around in their tents as an armed group, cruelly arresting and beating women who allow their wrist to show, who allow their ankles to be seen, and who are out without a male chaperone. This is the case of the morality police enforcing their, and it says, strict vision version of Islam. There's only one Islam. There's only one Sharia. There's only one Quran. There's only one collection of historical hadith. There's only one collection of biographical hadith. Only one of all of these things. Islam is Islam. There is no strict version of Islam. Islam is just strict. It's hellish. It's inhuman. And so here's the morality police enforcing Islam on other women, said Dan O'Shea of the Grome Technologies, a Florida-based international security firm specializing in recovering kidnapped victims. Quote, this is all part of the Islamic State's social media campaign and the brand they are trying to sell. Bullcrap. Dan O'Shea. Bullcrap. It's not a brand they're trying to sell. It's not a social media campaign. This is the reality of Islam. This is the reality of Sharia law. This is the reality of the abuse of women and women being abusive that exists throughout Islam. This is Islam. The women are lured with a monthly salary of a couple hundred dollars, as well as they receive food, shelter, basic firearms training, and of course a promise of spiritual rewards. Formed around February, a small militia is, these small militias are named after the 17th century, or the 7th century, female Arab poet Al-Khanza, a contemporary of Muhammad. More recently, the brigade has expanded its role into overseeing brothels where thousands of kidnapped Yazidi women are forced into the service of the Islamic State jihadists, serving as sex slaves. And they're forced to be sex slaves by Muslim women. This religion is deadly. It's vicious. It's inhuman. This is a religion that needs to be identified as criminal, and it needs to be shown as deadly and quarantined. Yes, the role of the religious police, the women armed with AK-47, you should see the pictures of them, dressed in their tents, on their black tents with Allahu Akbar scrolled across their foreheads. Allah is greater. Their role is to catch infiltrators disguised in female clothing that would try to free the women that are being used as sex slaves for the, of course, extraordinarily moral Muslims, jihadists of the Islamic State. Abu Ahmad, Raqqa-based Islamic State official, told Syrian Conflict News, which is Syria Deeply, that these brigades were established to raise awareness of our religion among women and punish women who do not abide by Sharia. Jihad is not a man-only duty. So here's the guy that is an Islamic State official, Abu Ahmad. He says that the brigade of religious women, the religious police, are to punish women who do not abide by Sharia. You know, it's pretty hard to make the claim, as the Obaminator did, that the Islamic State's not Islamic when they're imposing Sharia law, which is law based upon Muhammad. Nashwash, the founder of the Free Muslim Coalition, which seeks to promote a modern secular interpretation of Islam, so therefore an absolute idiot, denounces all terrorist groups and leaders and said women may soon take a more aggressive role in the promotion of the Islamic State. Well, you're just saying the opposite of what you said. You can't. There is no one promoting a modern secular interpretation of Islam. I mean, come on. A non-religious interpretation of Islam. That's what Kamal Nawash is promoting. Are you kidding? Are you out of your ever-loving mind that you're going to have a secular interpretation of a religion? And you're going to change the religion to your interpretation? When those who are living where the religion constitute a majority are still in the 7th century. They're fundamentalists. They're wearing tents. Women have no rights. They're abused. Stupid. According to Tim Furnish, an Atlanta-based independent analyst of the Islamic world, who has been a Pentagon consultant, there is still some confusion as to whether women are technically permitted to engage in jihad fighting. He said it is possible the women are policing other females because they are proscribed from fighting on the front lines. Yeah, sure. Mohammed forbid women to engage in jihad. He did. It's part of the hadith. There's no confusion over it. Mohammed forbid women to engage directly in armed assaults of civilians. Jihad is always terrorism.
Wait a minute.
But they can reward jihadists. They can raise money for jihad. They can provide sexual benefits to jihadists. They just can't themselves engage in jihad.
But I thought jihad wasn't just man's work.
Yeah. It's
isn't that
to,
what they just told us? It's not just a man's job.
Yeah, according to Muhammad, when he was asked about women participating in jihad, he said, "Nope, no jihad for you. Your jihad is to make your man feel manly. You know, you provide your man with the sex. You provide your man with all of the material support that he needs to be an effective jihadist, and that'll be your jihad." That's it. So women in Islam have become bomb manufacturing facilities. That's what a Muslim mother's womb is all about. It's to make the next generation of suicide bombers. It's to manufacture jihadists, but not themselves to engage in jihad. You see, in Islam, women are victims of jihad. Women have no rights. They don't even have the rights to be terrorists. Imagine that. We'll be back after the news and top of the hour break.